So perhaps the most humorous book in the Bible is the book of Jonah. Jonah is a book, and he is a man of irony. In chapter 1, he flees from the Lord, only to lament in chapter 2 being banished by the Lord. And then he also is thankful for being saved in chapter 2 by the Lord. And now in chapter 4, he says, "Kill me. I want my life to end." He seems to be a man who does not know what he wants. For you see, what pleased God displeased Jonah. And he went to Nineveh with a prophetic time bomb in his hand. And yesterday, if you were here, he talked about repenting, repent, repent, repent. And he wanted that bomb to go off. But God actually diffuses the bomb, and this puts Jonah in a right sore place. As one commentator said, we see in Jonah a prophet with a shocking disregard for human life and a bitter hatred towards those who have experienced mercy. Whew, you don't want that kind of prophet, and you sure don't want that kind of priest, do you? No, we don't. But you see, Jonah was someone who desired the coming of God's kingdom in a certain way. He wanted God's kingdom to be, "Get him, Lord." He didn't want it to be the kingdom of mercy, the kingdom of forgiveness. Now listen again to Jonah's prayer that Pam read for us. And I'm going to exaggerate it. "Is not this what I said when I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live." Talk about self-centered. "I said, I was still, I fled, I knew, take my life." What's happened to this man? Well, something that is a cautionary tale for all religious people. For religious people, perhaps more than any other kind of people, we can become embittered. Well, kind of like the older brother in that parable in chapter 15 of Luke's gospel. You remember him. He actually sounds a lot like Jonah. "Listen, for all these years, I've been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends." Woo! I'd want to stay away from a church like that, wouldn't you? Now, here's the thing that both Jonah and the older brother knew. They knew the true character of the father, and they didn't like it. Remember, Jonah said, "The reason I wanted to go to Tarshish was I knew that you were a man, you were a God," who, in quoting actually from Exodus 34, and this is interesting, where God reveals to Moses his true character after we've had that incident in chapter 32. You remember the golden calf thing? But God's character, even in light of our human willfulness and sinfulness, is first of all a God who is gracious. And this word communicates the attitude of the Lord towards those who are undeserving. Therefore, his graciousness expresses his benevolence and his mercy, which is the next word. God is called merciful. That is compassionate, loving. It is also a word, this word mercy, compassion, that expresses the love of a mother for her child. Hence, it speaks of God's loving favor. It also says that he is slow to anger. God is patient and long-suffering. And Nineveh was the recipient of God's slow-angering love. And that brings us to the last word. It says that he is abounding in love. And one of the key words in the Old Testament in Hebrew for God's covenant love is the word hesed, transliterated into English, H-E-S-E-D, hesed. The word hesed speaks of God's faithfulness to his covenant, that it expresses his desire to redeem us from sin. It has about it the qualities of kindness, loyalty, and unfailing love. You know, sometimes people say, "Oh, the God of the Old Testament, he's so different from the God of the New Testament." Well, there was a dude who lived in the early church named Marcion. He was a heretic, because that's what he taught. that the Old Testament God is a God of vengeance, of anger, the God that Jonah wanted. He's not. He's the God who anticipates Jesus Christ, the one who is chesed, the one who is abounding in love. You see, the whole point of the prophet Jonah is that those who speak on behalf of God are to have the heart of God, and that we are to be the people through whom the Lord's Prayer comes in to focus. And that's why we always say the Lord's Prayer at Mass right after Jesus is present on the altar. It's the very next prayer we pray. Because it's our desire that as we receive Jesus sacramentally, we will then live out our lives so that we embody him in how we are living. You know, there are so many today who are like the Ninevites, who do not know their left hand from their right. What does that mean? It means they do not know who God is. They're confused about God's true character and thereby confused about who they are. And I think it's beautiful that in this story, it ends with a parable of a bush. Now you can appreciate that Jonah, he's in Assyria. It's hot there. And the bush gives him some shade. But the point is that he's more concerned about a stupid little bush than about 120,000 people. And I love this because what Pam N. reads is actually the end of the book of Jonah. The very last phrase of the book of Jonah is that there are a lot of animals there as well. You see, God's concerned not only for the people of Nineveh, but for the animals too. In our collect today, we had this simple prayer. Almighty ever-living God, grant that we may always conform our will to yours and serve your majesty and sincerity of heart. How do we serve God's majesty and sincerity of heart? Well, by embodying his mercy, by embodying his character. He's merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. And it's my prayer that you will see more and more of such sincerity in me as your pastor, that you will say, oh yeah, Father Jonathan, he's merciful and gracious, he's slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. And it's my prayer that St. Peter's will more and more be experienced as a community that's merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. For be it Nineveh in the 8th century BC, or Calgary's Northwest in the year 2019, these are the kind of prophets, these are the kind of people that pray, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.